bring you greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. I don't know how many of you were expecting a Thanksgiving message this morning. I thought about it. I realized that I'm going to be preaching this Sunday. I thought about Thanksgiving message. I thought about what we could be thankful for, and maybe we could just take some time and fill the board up with things to be thankful for and erase it and start all over and fill it up again. I was really thinking about doing that. And yet, it seemed like God kept leading in another direction. It's a message that I had been working on for quite some time. And because of some situations in my own life, I couldn't bring the message. I couldn't preach the message. And I'm thankful this morning that God worked in my life and allowed me to find peace, find rest, and to experience what this message is all about. The title of the message is Communication. And if you, as individuals, you think about communication, you think about what that means and what it involves, none of you here this morning, and I thought about doing that, but none of you here this morning would have gotten very much out of it if I would have stood up here and said nothing. I thought about just standing up here and saying nothing for about 30 seconds or so and see what the response is, but I didn't have the nerve to do it. You can't tell what I'm thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking if I don't say anything, is that right? You have no way of knowing what I'm thinking. And I have no way of knowing what you're thinking. But communication brings that out. Communication opens that door. Communication opens us up to other people and opens other people up to us. And I think sometimes that is the reason why we have problems communicating, is because we don't want to open up. We don't really want people to know what's going on inside here. Or we're afraid to let people know what's going inside because of what they might think. Or because we do have something that we want to try and hide. There's many instances in the Bible about communication. But there's one passage of Scripture that I thought really brought out what I was thinking about in relation to this subject. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 22. This chapter is in reference to the 2.5 tribes returning home to the other side of Jordan again after the land of Canaan was conquered. Joshua chapter 22, verse 1, then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he hath promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you into your tents, and into your land, and to your possessions, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Dropping down to verse 10. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the half tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each one was a head of a house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and unto the children of Gad, and unto the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, and that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed unto this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? And then he goes on and rehearses a couple other times when people had turned away from serving God. And then down in verse 21, then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offerings or meat offerings, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear, for this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, we have, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad, and ye have no part in the Lord, so shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. And I could continue to read the rest of the chapter there, and I'm not going to for sake of time. But they explain there what their reasoning was for building this altar. And then down in verse 30, when Phinehas the priest and the princes of congregation and the heads of the thousands of Israel which were with them heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, said unto the children of Reuben and to the children of Gad and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among you, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. As we look at this passage of Scripture and we look at what's taking place here, it's interesting to me the misunderstanding and the confusion that a few missing words caused. Here, Joshua was giving these individuals who had requested that they be able to live on the east side of Jordan. He's giving them leave to return. They were allowed to live there, and they were allowed to stay there and not pass into what was considered the promised land, but they had to go ahead of the ones that were moving over there and to help fight the battles, to help conquer the land. That was now done. They were through that process. And Joshua says, you may go home. But he gives them a warning. He gives them counsel. He says, don't stop worshiping the Lord. Don't forget about God. Yes, there's a river between us, but don't forget to worship God. It says they departed. And when they got to Jordan, when they got across Jordan, they built an altar. The children of Israel, the rest of the tribes, looked on that altar and they said, as soon as they're across the river, they start rebelling. They start turning against God. They build an altar there. They're rebelling. And this traveled throughout all the land. It says, the children of Israel heard say. You know, the ones that weren't even close enough to see it, they heard about it. The story traveled. And they all gathered together at Shiloh and they said, we need to straighten this out. When there's no communication, misunderstandings occur. And that's what happened in this situation. I don't know why the ones that were leaving to go back to their homes again, why they didn't, you know, when Joshua blessed them and said all this, why they didn't say, Brother Joshua, we have a concern. We're fearful. We're worried. We're not quite sure that when we go back across Jordan and we have that river separating us, we're not quite sure. We're just a little fearful that the oncoming generations might move apart and might look at each other as, well, you don't have any part with me and you don't have any part with me, and there's going to be some misunderstanding there. We have a concern, Brother Joshua. What can we do about this? They didn't say anything. We have no record that they said anything. They left. And when they got across Jordan, they built the altar. There was misunderstandings and there was supposition. Oh my, you know, these people, they're starting to rebel already. You know, what is it? 2 days since they crossed the river here, and look at that. Look over there. See what they're doing. They're building an altar. And of course, gossip starts going, you know, that people start, you know, when they suppose in their own minds what might be going on, well then, you know, then they share it with somebody else, you know, and this keeps going on, you know. And lack of communication, lack of sharing together, talking together, just starts building. And oftentimes, when there's misunderstandings and supposition starts to build, as it did here, oftentimes anger develops. And that's what happened in this situation here. The children of Israel, it doesn't say they got angry, but they got together to go to war. They were going to straighten this out, and they were going to use force. They were going to go to war with their brethren because they were so sure that they're rebelling against God. And that was serious. And the very same thing happens in our lives today. When we don't have communication, we don't open ourselves up to somebody else, and we talk with them and we communicate with them the things that we're feeling or the things that we're perceiving, and we don't talk, misunderstanding builds, anger builds because we have ideas as to what that other person's responses and actions mean toward us. And we start to get angry, we start to get frustrated, we start to get disappointed and discouraged. And the one just builds on the other. And it's a vicious cycle. The angrier we get, the more frustrated we get, the more frustrated we get, the more disappointed and discouraged we get, and the more discouraged we get, the more angry we get. And we just start going around the circle. And as we do that, the more the misunderstandings build, and the more suppositions we have, and everything that happens just stacks right on top, and we can fit the blocks and bricks in place, and we can, yeah, you know, look at this, you know, and then something else happens, and yep, that's just another proof, you know, and it just begins to build. Then we go one step further, and bitterness moves in. These individuals here in this story here, it's not just a story, it's an actual happening. These individuals here, they were so angry and upset with their brethren that they were going to go to war with them. It doesn't really say that they were bitter. But you look at the attitude that is portrayed when Phinehas and the princes, it says, when they came to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, when they came there, all the accusations they poured out against those people. You built an altar. You're rebelling against the Lord. Why are you rebelling? Why are you building this altar? Why are you turning against God? Hasn't the rebellion of the past been enough? We're not free from all that as it is, and now you want to rebel again. There was an attitude of condemnation and I want to use the term bitterness there. They were, you know, they just laid everything out, you know. Brothers and sisters, when we do not communicate, when I don't communicate with those around me, when I don't communicate with my wife, with my children, with my family, when I don't communicate with my brothers and sisters in the church, And we don't communicate among each other, those are the things that begin to build. And that is the very place that you and I are going to get to if we're not willing to communicate. If we're not willing to talk, if we're not willing to share, if we're not willing to open ourselves up to our family and to our brothers and sisters, we are going to begin to build walls. The very thing is going to happen that they were afraid would happen. They were afraid there's going to be a division. And their lack of communication did that very thing. It built a wall. It built a separation. It divided to the point that the one side was ready to go to war with the other side. I'm so thankful that we have the example of the dialogue here between the two sides and the result that it brought. When communication takes place, feelings and perceptions are exposed and clarified. Again, we could go back to the point where they left. They should have communicated there. They should have expressed their fears. Their fears were probably founded. They probably had a basis for those fears. There may have been some attitudes expressed before this about these people that just didn't want to go into the land of Canaan and face the giants. They want to stay on this side of the Jordan. But they proved themselves. They went ahead. They marched into the land. They went before. It says when they crossed the Jordan River, when the waters parted and they crossed the Jordan River, it says they went up armed before the children of Israel. They proved themselves. But they were still a little fearful. But they didn't talk about it. But when communication is present, feelings and perceptions are expressed and clarified. And we see that in this discourse here in the bulk of the chapter here of how things were talked about. They were explained. The 10 tribes, when they came over, they expressed what they were feeling, what they were perceiving, what they were seeing. You set up this altar. To us, that means you're rebelling against God. The Reubenites and the Gadites, they said, no, you're misunderstanding. This is why we did it. We're afraid. We're afraid that there's going to be a division. We're afraid that your children are going to say to our children, in other words, in coming generations, they're going to say, look, you know, you're on the wrong side of Jordan. You don't belong to us. That's why we're doing it. That's why we built this altar, that we can look at it and you can look at it and we can see that there's a relationship here. There's a connection. We're one family. And when those feelings are expressed and clarified, misunderstandings are cleared, understanding and understanding reasons and motives result. And that's what took place here. You know, they explained. They took time to explain. You know, this is why we're doing it. You know, it would have been so much easier if they'd have done that before they ever even left, but they didn't. But they took time here to sit down before they actually went to war, thankfully. They took time and sat down and explained, understanding the reasons and the motives for doing it. The 10 tribes understood why they built this altar. Yeah, you know what? You know what? That probably could have happened. That probably could have happened in generations to come. That these 10 tribes over here could have said, well, you know, you're on the wrong side of Jordan. And then, peace, love, and unity can be experienced. They became united again. They understood each other. And they cared about each other and they loved each other. They understood the feelings and the concerns and they were willing to do something about it. They said, you have this day delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And I'm not sure what all was meant by that phrase, but to me it means that they have, by their discussion and by their action and by their willingness to be open and sharing, they have delivered the 10 tribes from committing sin by warring against their brethren for no cause at all. You know, you and I today, as we are willing to communicate and we explain to individuals our feelings, our motives, our understanding of things, and why we chose to do what we did, we can spare other people from committing sin. We can spare other people from doing hurtful things or going to war for no reason at all. Last few minutes here, I'd like to look at some practical points of communication. I believe it was Brother Gill in his prayer meeting topic on by your words you will be judged. He made mention, and I don't remember the exact amount, the exact figure, something sticks in my mind. It might have been that men speak 7,000 or 9,000 words a day, and women speak 20 or 21,000 words a day. Words are communication. And we as men, for some reason, we don't talk as much as women do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, sometimes communication breaks down because we as men throughout the day, we end up using about 6,000 of our words while we're at work. And we come home and we only have 1,000 left. And we come home to a wife that's been with the children all day long and not really had a lot of communication with adults, and she's got about 8,000 or 9,000 words left. And we're about done. And they want to talk. You know, sometimes sometimes I just shut up. I just close up. I'm done talking for the day. We need to realize that our wives want to communicate with us as men, as husbands. We need to realize that individuals need to talk with other individuals. And wives, sometimes when your husbands don't talk, it doesn't always mean that they don't want to talk. It doesn't always mean that they're not interested in what you're saying. It doesn't always mean that they just want you to be quiet and leave them in peace and quiet. Keep on talking. Maybe I'm encouraging your wife to do something that you wish she wouldn't do, but I'm going to tell her to keep on talking because we as men need to listen. And you know, sometimes I think maybe that's why God granted women more words per day than he did men, because sometimes they got to talk a lot to get us to listen. We need to take time to talk and take time to listen. Communication isn't just talking. Talking is communication, but communication is a lot more than talking. When somebody's talking, somebody has to listen or there's no communication going on. And we as individuals, we like ourselves pretty good and we feel that what we have to say is important, and when we're done saying that, then it's all over. And we don't take time to listen to what the other person has to say, because to them, that is just as important as what we had to share. And we need to realize that communication is a two-way street. And in order for it to be a two-way street, there has to be somebody listening on the other end. And that is where I fall short so many times. Yes, I hear the person talking, but do I listen? Do I really hear what they're saying? Do I really understand? Do I really put forth effort to know what they're saying? Brothers and sisters, we can have a lot of talk, but unless we're taking time to listen, there is no communication or very little communication happening. We need to practice and perfect the art of listening. In my early ministry, when I was first ordained in Hope Fellowship, I was ordained to serve with an old man, and I use his name quite a bit. I was ordained to serve with Brother Eddie Gaiman. And I was a young man, and you know how young men are. They feel they have all the answers. They know exactly what to do. Situation comes up, they think about it a little bit, and they say, this is the way we need to take care of this. What impressed me about Brother Eddie and also about Brother Earl Horst, which was the bishop at that time, what impressed me about those two older men was when we sat down to talk with individuals, they took the time to listen. And I would sit there and I would fidget and I would fume inside. How can they let this person continue to rant and to rave and to blaspheme in my mind and to condemn them when we all know it's wrong? And they just sit there and they listen. And they listen some more. And they continue to listen. While this young man was barely able to control himself. But they listen until that individual was done speaking. And then it was their turn to speak. And very wisely and very calmly, more calm than what this young man would have been able to do, very calmly pointed out to that individual the holes in their thinking. And you know, brothers and sisters, it didn't always work, but most of the time it did. And I'd walk away from those meetings, and it took me some time to learn and to really understand and perceive what's going on. But these two older brethren had learned the lesson of listening. I'm not quite as old as either one of those men were, so I guess I still have a couple years to learn how to listen. Another thing that we need to do when we think about communication is we need to take courage to share our feelings. You know, sometimes we communicate with somebody and we don't talk. We don't really say. We're not honest. You know, honesty is something that needs to be a part of communication. We need to be honest. We need to share our feelings, our hurts, our joy, our thankfulness, our disappointments, our discouragements. We need to be willing, especially in the husband-wife relationship, especially in the home. But not any less so in the church and with the brothers and sisters, because we're a family too. And we need to talk. We need to communicate. We need to be honest, we need to be real, we need to be open. Not superficial or flattering. You know, sometimes we meet people who are very, I don't know, I guess the word gushy or however you want to say it, you know, they just, they But when you walk away, you really wonder, did you really see the real person? Did you really get to know the real person? Did they really share what they felt inside? Or was all that speech a cover-up? Well, we need to be willing to communicate. But I think one of the main things that we need to be willing to do to have open communication is face-to-face communication with each other. The art of communication face-to-face is being lost. We have email, we have texts, we have Voxer, we have WhatsApp, we have, I don't know them all. And it's so easy, and there's nothing wrong with that, to send a, it's a WhatsApp message, I believe it was this morning, while I was trying to finish getting ready for this sermon this morning. And it was very encouraging. It was a brother letting me know that he's praying for me. It's very encouraging. But you know, when there's issues that need to be resolved, when there's feelings that need to be brought out and cleared, when there's misunderstandings that need to be worked out, WhatsApp messages, text messages. I don't know, maybe I'm too old-fashioned, but in my mind, that just doesn't cut it. There's nothing like sitting down face-to-face and being willing to share openly with that individual, to communicate exactly what you're thinking and what you're feeling and what you perceived and what you understood. And for that individual to look you in the eye and say, I'm sorry. Or to look you in the eye and tell you, this is why I did it, not because of what you understood. It helps. It helps us to understand each other. It helps us to be open to each other when we sit down face to face and we look each other in the eye and we tell the truth. And brothers and sisters, we look out in the world around us today and we see the lack of communication and we see what it does. We need to have the love of God in our hearts for our wives, for our children, for our brothers and sisters in the church to be able to live up to the thought of communication like it was spelled out this morning. Brothers and sisters, outside of Jesus Christ, outside of God working in our hearts, we are not going to be any better at communicating than those individuals out in the world. And there will be walls, there will be divisions, there will be rivers between us that we can't span. Only the bridge of communication that is powered by the love of God in our hearts will ever be able to break down those walls. Let's kneel for prayer.